teaching an essential skill, Braille. For this panel, we will have it led by a teacher counselor at the Louisiana Center for the Blind, and he will introduce a number of the people that have been under his tutelage. Here is Jerry Whittle.
Jerry Whittle.
I'm coming.
Come on, Jerry.
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
There you go.
Okay. Sorry. I was at the wrong spot. I want to thank you for that very nice welcome. GM is known for bailouts, and this morning I think we're known for braille-ins. Yeah. I'd like to thank Dr. Maurer for the privilege of facilitating this panel of Braille readers who learn Braille as adults. Part of our purpose this morning is to put to rest some of the misconceptions about learning Braille as an adult. It's been my experience for the past 23 years of teaching Braille that students who learn Braille as adults gain speed as fast as their sighted counterparts who are adults learn print. This is not based on any kind of research because no research exists. But I have had many conversations with teachers who work with sighted adults who learn print for the first time, and they don't gain any speed any faster than my Braille students. But we all need the same attributes to be successful: a willingness to work hard, consistent effort, intelligence, good hands, and good eyes. All right? So, one of the misconceptions is that learning Braille is slow, but it's not any slower than learning print as an adult. Secondly, many of my students who work hard and through diligence and effort learn to be competent enough to use Braille efficiently on the job or in school. Through hard work, many of these students can read from 60 to 100 words a minute in 6 to 9 months of training. This requires about 10 hours, a minimum of 10 hours of reading per week. I usually say 1 hour at night on weeknights and 5 hours on the weekend. Thirdly, it is not fair to compare somebody who learned Braille as an adult to someone who learned Braille as a child. They're in two separate categories. I personally have timed 70 readers at over 300 words a minute, and all of them learned Braille as a child, and all of them use two hands and a passel of fingers. Okay? The best I've ever who learned Braille as an adult was 100 words a minute. So that's not a fair comparison there. But we should be proud of both people, both groups. And we of all people should recognize that the achievements of people who learn Braille as adults is worthy of our praise, just the same as people who read Braille as children and reached their sighted counterparts equal. All right, now I have a wonderful group of panel members here, all of whom are learn Braille as adults, and all of whom were outstanding students. Our first speaker this morning is Miss April Davis. April hails from the city of Big Broad Shoulders, that toddling town, Chicago, Illinois. She got her master's degree from Louisiana Tech University in teaching blind students, and she has taught Braille in the public school system, and she's currently coordinator of our summer program of training for blind buddy program and STEP program at Louisiana Tech University. And here is Miss April Davis.
Good Hello, this is my sixth national convention, and I remember the first one I ever attended in 2002, sitting back with my delegation and looking up here and wondering what it was like to be on the platform, so I'm very excited to be here. One thing many of you may not have known about me is that I used to be very heavily involved in what you might call PR. No, I'm not talking about public relations. I'm talking about print reading. Now, I've been blind all my life with just a little bit of residual vision. So in order for me to read that print, I have to hold the paper just a few inches from my face and hope that the print is big and dark enough for me to see, and then hope that my big head doesn't block out all the light. So in high school and college, I really struggled because the print got smaller and the reading demands became heavier and my vision didn't get any better. So when I was in college, I was a very social creature and I was constantly being invited out to study groups and things like that. And I dreaded reading in public because it looked like I was falling asleep on my textbooks. And I was really embarrassed to be seen reading or writing in the classroom or any place like that. And so, needless to say, I should have learned Braille as a child, but since that didn't happen, I was determined to make up for lost time. And 3 days after college graduation, I was enrolled at the Louisiana Center for the Blind. Now, it took me just a little over a month to master the Braille code, but once I did, there was no stopping me. I read everything I could get my hands on. One of the things I was especially interested in was going back and reading all the classics and novels that I had avoided reading in high school because the print was too small. So at the end of my 8 months of training, I read 78 words a minute. And although this wasn't as fast as I would be reading if I had learned in childhood and read consistently, it's still fast enough for me to appreciate what I'm reading and comprehend everything. And it's so much better than the old method of dive bombing my paper. It feels so respectable. It feels so much more respectable to just sit with a Braille book in my lap and just quietly read. And I can read a lot of places where my sighted peers can't, like in the dark or under the covers during those cold Chicago winters. When I go home to Chicago and I'm riding on the L, any of you have taken it, nobody can read over my shoulder when I have my Braille book, so there's another advantage. When I was in graduate school at Louisiana Tech during that hot Louisiana summer when I didn't feel like carrying my laptop around on campus, I used my slate and stylus to take notes at lectures. And this was so much more preferable to the old method of carrying a tattered notebook around and eking out chicken scratch that I could never read back to myself by the time the final exam rolled around. And so learning Braille has just proved extremely valuable to me. And I just want to encourage all of you who are adults who have not yet learned Braille that it's definitely an extremely valuable tool. It's something that I really encourage you to learn. Learning Braille gave me such a freedom and empowered me so much that I went on to get my master's in teaching blind students because I wanted to help at least some of this next generation of blind students get the skills they needed early so they wouldn't have to go back as adults and go through what I went through. Thank you.
Our next panelist is Mr. James Mays. He is the senior member of our panel this morning. James is a veteran of the United States Navy. He has a degree in civil engineering from Louisiana Tech University. And he worked as a supervisor of road construction around Louisiana for many years. He lost his sight with a macular generation and came to our center. And now he's one of the woodshop teachers along with Jerry Darnell. He also builds grandfather clocks in his own wood shop and sells them. So if anybody needs a good grandfather clock, see James May. James, come on up. Here's Mr. James May.
Good morning. It is a great honor to be standing here to address such a fine organization that I'm a junior member of, even though I'm advancing you forward to the age of 71. Now, we've talked about the children and everything and the youth and what were the problems we have with education in Braille. The reason I wanted Braille is I did go blind at 58. I went through the school at 59. And if you ever been to school under Joanne Wilson's tutelage, you know what I went through. Okay. She told me I could go home on Fridays. I live in Ruston if I was good. So I had to check in every Friday, and sometimes she'd let me go home. But she said she didn't want my wife spoiling me during the week. And Jerry Whittle, when he handed me my Braille book, he said it was like handing me a grizzly bear. And that was true, because I wanted it so bad, because I had been, I guess, an executive type manager. My footprints are in the New Orleans airport, Atlanta airport, Little Rock airport, Dallas, Fort Worth airport, Houston, Shreveport. In most of those areas, I did do constructive, high dollar construction jobs. Lots of responsibility, lots of ego with it. Well, then I fell like a tall tree when I lost my eyesight. Well, I didn't mind losing my eyesight as bad as I did of not being literate anymore. And I just couldn't visualize not being literate. So that's why it became so important to me to try to read Braille. Everybody was very nice to me, as I'm sure you would be to me too. They gave me every excuse. I'm not saying Jerry Whittle or Joanne Wilson. They gave me every excuse in the world why I should not be able to read Braille as a senior. But I'm a myth buster. I have busted the myth. I hadn't busted it like Superman. But I read and I studied. And when I got out of the school, I was probably only reading about 15 words a minute or 10 slowly. Jerry didn't give up on me. He might have given out, but he didn't give up. I sat by his elbow like a three-year-old kid. When we come into class, I slid right in beside him, and he could hear me breathing. And he'd start. Oh, okay, Jane, we'd start with a letter. Here we go. We'd rub and we'd scrub. So anyhow, we did get to a point, and I got my first book. He was giving everybody else a nice little book, had about 20, 40 pages. He gave me one that had about six. And it was a little child's book. It had the little things you could see through them, you know. And if you couldn't read it, you could go by the picture, you know, if you could see a little bit. But I did all right. I got a couple of pages of it read. But what I did, to make a long story short, I didn't learn to read the Braille in 9 months. I learned what the Braille was. I learned that Braille 1, which I think Jerry would have let me stop at and been happy. But I found out that the contractions made it so much easier. And the contractions was just a continuation of memorization. I had already learned to identify the Braille by learning Braille 1. So why didn't I go on and memorize Braille 2 and continue my identification? So that's why I went on into Braille 2. And I did conquer it, slowly but steadily. There's a simple little phrase that I use as an example. Now's the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. You've heard that. I typed it, and I can feel that teacher in high school slapping me on the back of the head when I'd mistype it. But it uses every key on the keyboard. Well, it uses nearly every contraction. In sales, or character Braille 1, it's 52 characters. In Braille 2, it's 27. I said, I can sure identify 27 quicker than I can identify 52. And so that's what got me interested in going into 2. And to make a long story short, I started to read my book. I left the school. And I wanted to read Lonesome Dove, my favorite TV show. I got my book, I got a Lonesome, he gave me a Little House on the Prairie book. Proud of it. Proud of it. Stuck it under my arm. And here I am, a 59-year-old child going down the street. And everybody said, there goes James with that big book. Everybody in town knew me. but everybody in town said, James may be blind, but he's not an old dumb fart anymore. Okay? So therefore, I started trying to read Lonesome Dove. It took me 3 hours to read the first page. So I put it back on the shelf. I reached and got Little House on the Prairie. Fell in love with it. Hardest word I found to read in it was button. You ever try to read button? He was sewing on a shirt, and I finally contrasted it out. It's button. So those are the things that I went through. Then I reached back about 3 months later, and I got Lonesome Dove. 8 months later, I had read 9 volumes of Lonesome Dove and loved it. Okay. To finish up, get it over with, since then, in the last 8 years, I've read approximately 8,000 pages, and I love it. Thank God for Jerry Whittle. Bye.
Our next speaker is Ms. Deja Powell. Deja is from the Beehive State of Utah. She has a master's degree from Louisiana Tech University in O&M, and she is now a teacher of cane travel in Great Salt Lake City, Utah. I might mention that Deja is a student who read 100 words a minute in 6 to 9 months. Quite an achievement. Ms. Deja Powell.
A few years ago, a friend of mine asked me a fairly simple question. What is your favorite book? I sat there in silence. I felt embarrassed, disappointed, confused, and alone. You see, at the age of 23, I had never read a book. Large print was the only thing I knew, and all I could think of was heavy books and headaches. Because of this, I grew up with a hatred for reading. When I was in the 7th grade, my parents decided that maybe I should try and learn Braille. So I got, quote unquote, Braille lessons. My instructor came 3 times, and I learned the first 10 letters of the alphabet. After that, I was done. 10 years later, I made a decision to attend the Louisiana Center for the Blind. The moment I sat down in Mr. Whittle's classroom, I was in love with Braille. What was amazing to me is that I had remembered those first 10 letters from 7th grade. All I could think of was, if I had only learned this earlier, how easy it would come to me right now. I spent hours reading Braille, between 2 and 6 hours a day. I had very much a passion for wanting to learn, for wanting to like to read. I've been to many places in my life and have accomplished some pretty important things, but I think one of the greatest moments I can remember is the day that I finished my first Braille book. It was the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. A book that many people read in their elementary and junior high school years. Well, I missed that, and so that's where I wanted to start. I wanted to catch up on all those books my friends had talked about. My speed is not like Jerry Whittle's, or nope. Pam Allen's, or Dr. Maurer's. But Deja Powell can finally read. I'm almost done. Today I my daily life, to write student reports as a cane travel instructor, to make shopping lists, to label things with my obsessive organization needs, to write down phone numbers. But most importantly, the number one time when I felt the most powerful with my Braille skills was 2 months into my training at the Louisiana Center when my dad died from cancer. I was asked by my dad himself if I would speak at his funeral. Many people don't know this or have never heard this story, but he made me promise him 2 things before he died. The first was that I would use a cane. I wasn't using a cane at the time. And the second was that when I spoke at his funeral, that I would read it in Braille. I was slow when I did it, but I never felt like my dad was more proud of me than he was at that moment, standing on the podium, reading my Braille with my cane to my side. I'm done being a part of a pathetic Braille illiteracy statistic. I'm thrilled to say that I am a Braille reader. I love to read now. And you can check me off the list of the blind who are literate in this country. Thank you.
Our next panelist is someone who needs no introduction to the National Federation of the Blind. He is Mr. Anil Lewis. President of the Georgia affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind and chairman of our National Scholarship Committee, Mr. Anil Lewis.
Good morning, Federation. They got me up here to tell on myself. I went blind in 1989, and I thought I learned Braille in the 4 months that I took rehabilitation in the center in Atlanta. I got to a rapid speed of 35 words per minute and was soon made the Braille instructor. I used to think that I was so awesome, that I was so bad. But I really, really, literally was bad. But luckily for me, I did learn enough Braille to get me through the rudimentary things that I needed to get done. For example, for those of you who think that it's not important to learn Braille, you know, Deja already talked about some of the basics, phone numbers, et cetera. But I was able to read at least fast enough to read to my newborn son when he was 1. And I wanted to share, I have here one of the books from the National Braille Press. I joined the book club when he was born, and I used to read to him. And this is the first book he read independently himself. It's one of the Braille print books. It's called Froggy Gets Dressed Jonathan London. You guys read this? Oh, man, it's a very suspenseful thriller. It's all about Froggy getting dressed. I want to read a little bit of it to you. So Froggy puts on his socks. Zoop. Pulls on his boots. Zup. Puts on his hat. I'm not going to ruin the ending for you. But all I'm saying is, because I was able to read to my son at an early age, and Amari, this is Amari's second convention. He's 11 years old. He's working up in kids camp with the elementary and preschool. Okay, all right, don't start because I'll be here all day talking about Amari. But I do want to say this, and I know this is not the essential end-all be-all, but Amari's 11 years old. He's going to the 8th grade. Yeah. So, yeah, please applaud for my son. All right, so I'm thinking, as my cousin would say, that I'm AT&T. That's all this and that, for those of you who don't know. But I have a friend up in Baltimore who told me, he said, Anil, and this is after last year. How many of you were at last year's banquet? You heard that guy up at the podium struggling through that Braille trying to read that stuff for those scholars? God bless him. But he had a friend in Baltimore that said, Anil, I'm going to make you a competent blind person, a more competent blind person, if it kills me, or you. And that friend sent me down to the Louisiana Center for the Blind. He encouraged me to go, and I went. And just like Deja, I went to go study at the feet of the master, Mr. Jerry Whittle, and when I walked into that Braille room, I fell in love with Marilyn Whittle. But what Jerry did for me is he put me in a place where the Federation does. It put us in a place where we set high expectations. Here I am reveling in my 35 words per minute. Jerry sits down and says, we want you to read 125 before you leave here. Well, he made me believe I could do it. You lied to me, Jerry. But because he made me believe I can do it, I did get above 70. So hopefully tonight, if I practice some more, because I'm still a little rusty, it's going to go a little bit more like this. Our final scholarship this evening, the Dr. Kenneth Jernigan Scholarship, in the amount of $12,000. This scholarship is being presented in memory of the man who changed perceptions regarding the capabilities of blind people in this country and the world. This scholarship is given yearly by the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults, a nonprofit organization which works to assist blind people. Dr. Kenneth Jernigan is viewed by our field as the most important figure in the 20th century, in the lives of blind people. The Action Fund, wishing to keep fresh and current in the 21st century, the understanding he brought to the field, has endowed this scholarship dedicated in his memory and to the continuation of the work he has, that he began. This year's Kenneth Jernigan Scholarship is awarded to Psych. Let me get off this podium. I want to say one thing, though. This is the bell I got on June 5th of 2009 as a graduate of the Louisiana Center for the Blind. And I ring it today because not only did Jerry Whittle believe in my ability to learn Braille, he encouraged me to take the National Certification in Literary Braille Test, and I passed.
Our final speaker this morning is president of the Nevada affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind. And she is past president of the National Association of Blind Students. She recently completed all of her coursework in sociology, soon to be graduating from college, and she is with child, Ms. Terry Rupp.
A new mother held her newborn baby and rocked him back and forth and rocked back and forth and back and forth. As she held him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. This was the first thing I bought when I found out I was pregnant. This book was written by Robert Munsch. The first time I heard this book was in a story time reading that I had organized as a college student working in a community service organization called Circle K. And since I was the one organizing the event, I had been asked to read the book to the children at Barnes & Noble's. Unfortunately, I couldn't read it. So I asked one of my colleagues to read it. This was when I realized I couldn't read. G- Growing up, I was always told that I should read large print. I could see good enough to not use a cane and not read Braille. But as one of my teachers pointed out as a college freshman, good enough is not good and good enough is not enough. After struggling through my first few years of college, I decided to go to the Louisiana Center for the Blind and learn Braille. I wondered about whether or not I should finish college first or take time off and go after I was done. Al Spooner told me at my first California convention, wouldn't you rather have the skills and complete college learning Braille? In January 9th, 2006, I started my first class at the Louisiana Center for the Blind. After a month, I started reading my first novel. I was able to read the script for the play. I read a poem at my aunt's wedding, and by the end of September, I was reading at about 100 words a minute. Now I'm a graduate of the University of Nevada of Las Vegas. With a bachelor's in sociology, I plan to continue my education with a master's in social work and working with children and working as a marriage and family counselor. I use Braille every day. I've labeled my stove, my microwave, my dishwasher. I use my slate and stylus to take notes. I carry my index card slate and stylus with me in my purse everywhere I go. I've even put Braille on my mother-in-law's computer because she doesn't know where the M and V keys are. So thanks to the National Federation of the Blind, thanks to Jerry Whittle, and thanks to the Louisiana Center for the Blind, I can read to my unborn baby, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be.
Let's hear it for this great panel. I learned Braille at 30. I traveled 20 miles every 2 weeks to take a class with Ms. Patricia Tuck from South Carolina. And she started me off in the Yolt Illinois series. And then the funding for the little program ran out. And so I took the books. I hadn't quite finished the code, and I sat at my kitchen table and I learned the rest of the code. And then I started a college at Clemson University. Go Tigers. Thank you. God bless you. And I had to get that commercial in. And I was not proficient enough in Braille to use it in college, although I kept it on the back burner because I wanted to read with all of my heart. And so I used readers and tape books, and I went through the master's program at the University of Tennessee without Braille. But when I got out of the University of Tennessee, I recognized that, I think Emily Dickinson said it best, to comprehend a nectar requires sorest need. And so I picked up the books and I reviewed the code and I set to work on getting faster. I would go to work 1 hour early every morning before it started to read for an hour every morning. And then on the weekends, I read my heart out and I built speed. I will never forget the first time I read. I like to say it was 80 words a minute. It was really 78 words a minute, but I rounded it up. Excuse me for doing that, but Eric Weinmeier and Sir Edmund Hillary never had it so sweet because I had reached the top of the mountain for me. The irony is that a lot of my students who come to the center can read as fast or faster than I. Many of them can. Many of them can read as fast or as fast as I can after 6 to 9 months of training. But like Dr. Jernigan in The Nature of Independence, I take pride in that because I didn't have that opportunity to go to that kind of center. I wanted to. Nothing was around. Okay, so I don't want to get choked up here. I get choked up a lot. You know, even though when I read The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, I didn't float down that river quite as fast as Dr. Maurer did when he read it in Pamela Allen on that road to freedom with Tom and Huck. I went fast enough to smell the trees on the riverbank and and to feel the power of the water underneath the raft and to see the canopy of stars twinkling right above my fingertips. Five of the six of us on this panel should have had Braille when we were children. Nobody was there to tell us that. So I have one last and final thing to say, and I hope all of you are with me on this. Teach our children Braille. And do it well. That's all.
Well, now, Jerry, those who don't get choked up by the wish to learn and the joy of life and the excitement of finding a new way of knowing have hearts of stone, and we don't make Federationists out of them. So I join you in feeling choked up about some of this. It's exciting, it's fun, it's joyful, and that's what we are.